leaving Kinsale again on a glorious day, the kind of day when it grieves me to leave Kinsale. I mean, on the side of the road is Montbrecia, on the side of the road are all sorts of plant life, and in front of me is a tractor, and the tractor is carrying a container on the back, and on the back is a hose pipe out of it. And I'm saying to myself, well, look, how many countries in the world actually have got tractors in front of you on the road, on these twisty, turny Irish roads? And you look down and you see all this greenery and you see all this water as you leave Kinsale, and you have the added benefit of being held up. You're forced to drive slowly, almost forced to be mindful of the bloody danger that you're gonna do something exasperated by the pace of the tractor. A four-wheel, I can't even tell you, it's a 2011 tractor. Here goes, I gotta overtake it. I am a man of limited patience. Right, thank goodness. Yeah, I'm a great one for believing that if you have no option at all, if you're stuck behind a tractor, you might as well say to yourself, this is the best place to be in the whole world, because you have no choice. But it does actually disappoint me to leave Kinsale. I've been sitting on the veranda of a hotel. I've been looking out over water of the river, water of going to the sea. I'm not sure if I was basically an estuary of a river. And it isn't flatland, it's a rolling hillside. It's like what you'd call in the UK a coombe down or a down. Anyway, it's just, and the landscape was like a tapestry. It wasn't just an all one colour or an all one shape. And I have to leave. I have to go back to a place to hold a conversation about the future of a new company that I'm setting up with my business partner. So I've come from talking to a client, I think we could say, in fairness, we have actually formed a contract. We haven't signed anything, but we got to the point in the conversation where one person says to the other, this is what I want you to do for me. And, you know, it's good when someone says that to you, isn't it? It's good. And it's even more interesting when you have the experience like I had this morning of saying, well, in effect, you may want that, but there's a difference between what you want and what you need. What, in order to get what you want, this is what I do. And I just want to share with you a bit of the conversation because I want to remember it. And I'm very happy. We're now going through Belgooly, in case you're interested, and there's a 50 kilometer per hour speed limit through here. And this place is a... I won't describe the place. I go back to the business thing. So the point is, the client says, I want you to do this. And I say to myself, if I go along with that, I'm colluding with the client's vision, right? I am not adding any value. I'm working out of the client's understanding, and the benefit of the client talking to me is they get an independent view of the horizon. We're both looking at the same horizon, or we're both looking at our own horizons, and we can help each other. And my way of adding value is to add difference to the situation by proposing that we do something else. So basically, I tried to explain it in terms of a golf metaphor. I said, look, I could be showing you how to use a wedge or a 9-iron today, tomorrow, for a while, right? And you could get better at that. And then I could show you how to use a 7-iron. And then I could show you how to, you know, well, anyway, the metaphor is clear. And I said, but that would be so slow, so inefficient a way of getting you to be a better golfer, what I want to do is work on your swing. So I want to work on the swing rather than how you use any particular golf club. Now, I offered that to the client as a useful way of thinking. That would work best with a client who actually plays golf and understands all of the paraphernalia involved in and the language involved in the metaphor. And of course, if the person has a negative perception of golf, has no interest, thinks golf is a great walk, spoiled, you're picking the wrong metaphor. And the metaphors that, you know, I found most effective have been metaphors that grow out of the client's world rather than out of my personal preference. So I'm now saying to myself, did the man I was talking to, does the man I was talking to play golf? Perhaps I didn't pick the best metaphor, actually. Perhaps I should have picked something else. I don't actually think that he plays golf, but that was, you know, so I'm saying to myself, next time I better pick. But anyway, that's the one I picked, to be honest, this morning. And it didn't backfire at the time. So what happened is we agreed to go forward. And I'm coming back now, having immersed myself in the world of the client over a number of an amount of time. I'm coming back with a specific proposal, and to kind of balance the situation. Because I thought, look, here I am, we've had a meeting, right? I'm now saying I'm going away to write a proposal, right? This is very uneven if you have a meeting with somebody and one person goes off to do all the work. You know, I go off and do the proposal. So I suggested to the client that I wanted the client, or the potential client, we'll say, because we haven't signed a contract yet. But I said, look, what I'd like you to do is to do this. And I'll tell you a little bit about what it was that I asked the client to do, because it might interest you. The client told me that they were on X number of platforms in media platforms, I'll call them, right? I just mentioned ones at random. Pinterest, LinkedIn, Twitter. Anyway, we have a list that the client brought of, I'm on these platforms. To which I said, look, okay, you're on all those platforms. How about we use the 80-20 rule, Pareto's law, you know, in this way. You come, next time I see you, you tell me which are the 20% of those platforms that are adding 80% of the value, that give you 80% of your value at present, right now. So that involves having to, you know, which ones contribute most to your reputation, to your influence, because this client is interested in increasing their influence, reputation. I mean, that's just a synonym for building a business. Then pick. Well, I suggested 18 months ahead. Pick 18 months ahead, and then give me the 80-20. Run the 80-20 on the platforms. And tell me where you'd like to be in 18 months' time. You know, where you think you need to be in 18 months' time. Where will the conversations have moved to? For example, if you're getting 80% of your value from your current operations on, for sake of argument, let's just say, Twitter and LinkedIn, given the nature of your business, given the nature of the way the world is going, given where your targets, I suppose, you know, are going to be, although that's given where which conversations you want to be in 18 months time, you know, is it Pinterest and Facebook you want to be in relation to this business? I just, you know, or, you know, entirely valid strategy, you're going to be on personalized emails to very carefully chosen individuals. You know, and that's kind of real niche conversation where you're not even doing it in public. That's the email stuff. And that's what I have to say, Chris Brogan and AJ Lane in particular, these two people have taught me the value of personalized email conversations in the modern world, when I used to think that email was almost dead in the waters, except that you had to put up with it, but that the people's love of using email for business had kind of gone. But these two guys have particularly shown me that there is a way of using email that is very, very special, very, very niche, and can be extraordinarily influential for a business. Okay, enough. Kinsale, leaving Kinsale, the leaving of Kinsale. I remember the song, The Leaving of Liverpool. Anybody remember that? The Leaving of Liverpool. Some kind of a song that echoes in the back of my mind. Glorious day. 16.5 degrees. There is a nip in the air, which is good. And I'm on my way to stage two of the day, which is a strategic conversation with my own business partner. And you know what? It's a lot easier to help somebody else with their business than to turn the lens in on your own, in my humble experience. Okay, look, if you want to say anything to me, having listened to this, I would bite your hand off for what you have to say. Thanks a million. Bye-bye.